If you have your, excuse me, if you have your Bible with you, we'd ask that you turn with us to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to start with the 21st verse. This encompasses, in fact, everything that's going to be read here are the words of Jesus. As he's stopped, and a question is posed to him by the Apostle Peter, or at this time, his disciple Peter. Starting with the 21st verse, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him of the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and said, told unto their Lord all that was done. And when his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." If correctly read today, this includes the 21st down through the 35th verse of Scripture. Now, we're going to go to several scriptures here, so kind of bear with us for just a moment. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there for just a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very familiar scripture, one that I believe has been quoted no telling how many times. But the fourth verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, fourth verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, charity, that is love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Now we're going to skip down to the 13th verse. Now abide faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. our thought and our theme for a verse that we could base our thoughts upon today is found over in the book of Colossians. I know I'm running you all over the New Testament, but in the third chapter of Colossians, and in the 13th verse, he's talking about how Paul is talking about how we should regard one another. He says in the 13th verse of the third chapter of Colossians, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And that will be where that a lot of our thoughts will come from. And if you could name this and give a theme to it today, it would be faith in Christ, hope in Christ, love like Christ, and forgive like Christ. Now, I know that's a lot to take in, but as we spoke last Sunday, there is a carryover from those three graces that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it goes and is carried over to what we should do with our fellow man. We have experienced the grace of God and salvation. If you're not saved today, I hope and pray that even before that this service is finished and concluded, that you find Him precious as Lord and as Savior, that you'll be drawn to a place of repentance where that you can experience the forgiveness and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we first think about faith. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith is the foundation of our hope, of our salvation, if you will. We love like Christ, but first of all, it starts with faith. Faith in our salvation and justification before God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and justification before God. Do you know that in the scriptures, in the book of Hebrews, it says this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to repeat that for just a moment. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God believeth that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I've never met an atheist yet who has said, I've been saved, but I don't believe in God. I mean, talk about an oxymoron or a paradox. That would really, really shake me to encounter someone like that. But I want you to know that before that we're saved, we exercise faith. And God is merciful today. He is full of mercy. He is full of long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come unto repentance. And he justifies us when he saves us. You might ask where all this is leading. Well, I'll get to that in just a moment. But he justifies us before God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, the unmerited favor of God, wherein that we stand. And Christ was delivered, and Christ was crucified, and Christ rose from the dead for our justification before God. We're justified by faith, and we're justified by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is our trust in the Lord that His promises are true. We trust Him today. My faith is not in any other entity, in anyone else. in whatever is going on in Washington, in Moscow, in Jerusalem. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith is in God. I want you to know He saved my soul, and therefore I have faith towards Him. And after faith for salvation, we walk in faith. There are about four scriptures. I'll try to name them all, but there are four scriptures that talk about we walk by faith, we're justified by faith, we live in faith, we exist in faith, whether that you realize it or not, the very breath that you take at this very moment is by faith that God will initiate a heartbeat and allow you to live for another moment. We don't create ourselves, we don't sustain ourselves, we're sustained by Almighty God. It's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I heard a minister one time talk about faith in such a way where that he says, now, I stand here and I've got an invisible dog. You can't see him, but he's there. And I thought to myself, well, how in the world do you know that he's there? Faith is a substance. It has substance, character to it. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit within our heart. We're not necessarily going about blind, but as we travel and as we exist in this world. But we, my friend, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we walk by faith before Almighty God. Faith. Then there is hope. Hope that is not within our heart is not any hope at all. It's the assurance or the acknowledgement that God's plan and that God's working in our lives today is going to be for good. Things may look dark. Things, my friend, may look like there's no peace. There's no end to the misery that we experience in our world today. But you know, we have a hope. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes along with faith. And we have hope of a better resurrection. And you know, if nothing else, let me leave this with you today. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have that assurance of a hope of a better home that awaits us. Can you imagine what heaven is like, where Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God? Can you imagine what it will be like whenever that we get there? Can you imagine, my friend, all of our anxieties and our troubles and our problems will be behind us? We'll drop them like we drop a cloak or drop a coat. And we will be in the presence of Almighty God, and everything that we expect about heaven will be, and even more. The Bible tells us over in one place in the book of Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. Good plans. Plans to give you an expected end. What's an expected end? It's hope. It's something that we expect of God. It's not something that we demand of God, but we know that He is the Father of lights, that He is the one today that supplies all things that we stand in need of. And then we find that there is love. Love is the crowning glory unto all these graces. And not just any kind of love. I mentioned that last week, that many times we have the definition from Hollywood of what love is, or the definition from a novel, or whatever the case might be. But that's not love. That's not the love of God. The love of God, and I'll throw a little Greek out here, the agape love is a love that's defined as being above all others, far superior to it. The love of man, the love that we see on the screens, has conditions to it. You do something for me, and I'll do something for you. Kind of like we bargain for affection, or that we borrow, that we bargain for something to be bestowed upon us. but not so the love of God. And do you know that Paul said in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, abide in these, faith, hope, and charity, or in other words, love. But the greatest of all of these, Paul says, is what? It's love. Not just any love, as we said, but it's the love of God. Have you ever experienced the love of God? If you've been saved, you have. And each and every day you experience the love of God. Jesus was on one occasion asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And someone will say today, well, the law was so strict. It was so rigid under Moses. How could anybody keep the law and follow all the ordinances? But you know, in the book of Leviticus, in 19th chapter, and then the 18th verse, Jesus answered this man and said, thou knowest this commandment. He said that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we said last week that kind of puts us in the driver's seat, that if we love ourselves, we'll love our neighbor. But Jesus went above and beyond that as far as love is concerned. He said on the night of his, before his crucifixion, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, not as you love yourself. And I'm sorry, Peter, but it's a love that goes beyond loving yourself. I'm sorry, John, you record this someday. It's a love, my friend, that is patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say today, well, I don't think that I could love like that. Now, I don't know that I could either. But with the help of God, we can love as Jesus did and as Jesus does today. And my friend, we get to the place to where that we began to emulate him. Do you know why that they called them Christians in the first few chapters of the book of Acts? It's because that their enemies would look at them and how that they commune together, how that they would come together. They, as our Sunday school lesson will tell you today, that every day they met together, not only to break bread, but they met together to worship the Lord. Why? Because that was the pattern that was set before them. That was the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we cannot meet together just every day, but I want you to know you can still emulate the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily walk, in your daily talk, in your daily activities. And I'm not preaching this today for any rebuke or anything, but as the days get darker and darker, you are the light of the world. You are the light that needs to be shining out to convince men, women, boys, and girls that there is a reality to knowing God in the free pardon of sin. And one of these things is how that we would forgive one another. I'm talking about each other and then those out in the world. The Bible says over in one place, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake gave forgiveness unto you whenever that he saved your soul. It's going to be foundational in our walk with the Lord today. And forgiveness is an act, it's a deliberate act based upon faith, hope, and charity. These three things. And most importantly of all, based upon love. Now we can do it out of duty and say, well, you know, our preacher said I'm supposed to forgive. No, okay, I'll do it. But if we do it begrudgingly, if we do it, my friend, with some motive in the back of our mind, and do it with some sort of idea that we're going to get back at some time, do you know? Revenge never solved problems. Amen? Do you ever see a time whenever that revenge helped the situation any at all? Now, you know, if there was anybody that could be justified in taking revenge, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever that he was upon the cross, do you see him there this day? Do you see him nailed between heaven and between earth? Brother, that's the greatest kind of love that there is. He was willing to sacrifice himself and to give himself as an offering. And you know, as they jeered and as they made fun and as they parted his garments before him, as they had planted thorns upon his head, as they had driven nails into his hands and into his feet. I'm glad I keep this up here for show and tell. He loved them, even those that crucified him. And you might say, what proof do you have of that? Because one of the seven sayings from the cross, besides my friend being thirsty, beside being tired, beside feeling his life ebbing out of him, one of the greatest sayings that he said, if not the greatest saying from the cross, was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gives it to us as a command. He says in the book of Matthew, in the 6th chapter part of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And you know, I believe that today. And I say this, and I preach all of this today because I can tell you from personal experience where that unforgiveness can lead a person. I'm speaking about myself. I'm not pointing towards anyone in the congregation. I'm just speaking from personal experience. I carry a grudge for very long, and it becomes a burden upon my back and in my subconscious. And it goes deep, you know. There are things that can get into your mind that they just kind of pop up all of a sudden. Here comes this thought. Here comes that thought. Now, maybe that doesn't happen to you, and I hope it doesn't. But there'll be thoughts come to my mind. Yeah, Lord, I'll forgive so-and-so over here. But you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, boy, I'll tell you what. My first chance I can get him, I'm really going to do him in. Yes, I forgive him, but I'm going to do him in. And I want you to know that it can become so embedded in your mind and in your heart and in your thinking that you can't think about anything else. And someone will say today, well, you know, that won't do anything to my relationship to God. Yes, it will. Because you have put that person, you have put that act, you put whatever between you and God, and I'm not going to do anything about it because I love my hatred. I love what I feel, and it somehow satisfies me. I'm speaking again from personal experience, and I want you to know that if I had done what I needed to do many years ago, it would not have taken all this time to get to this place, even just within a few years ago. I was able to release it. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that it was killing me. But I can tell you that there are some things about it that will kill you. It killed my relationship with God. It separated me from God. It caused me to think about nothing else whenever that I gave, even into the pulpit, except this in the back of my mind about, I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to see if there's some way that I can get back and get away with it. I had a friend in school one time. His philosophy was, Paul, don't get mad. Just get even. I want you to know that's not a very good philosophy to have. Because that's why we're seeing the things happening in our world. at this very moment. That's why we're seeing, my friend, even to where the hatred and the grudge and everything gets into the national view. Do you know that there are some people today, I think it's within their genes, I think it's within their chromosomes, that they cannot stand another nation, or they're against another nation. And my friend, we've seen that demonstrated. That is how far that it goes, to where they're not even aware. And I'm not justifying them today. At this point, they don't even realize that they're hurting themselves. And I can tell you, my friend, getting a problem with my heart. Now, I'm not saying that all disease is from this, but I can tell you this. The problems with my heart, the problems otherwise that I've had health-wise, my friend, it wasn't there whenever that I was a kid. But over time, it began like a cancer. It began like a growth to stay there, and it festered and it festered and it festered. And do you know that most of my sermons would stand up, and I'd have in the back of my mind that so-and-so that had done me wrong was sitting right there, and you wouldn't believe how many times I preached to the front pew. It's confession. I'm fessing up. God knows my heart today. And I bring that before you today because I don't want you to go through what I went through. My friend, it becomes embedded. It becomes, my friend, something that I became preoccupied with. And it wasn't until I was looking into the scriptures and I was looking at the forgiveness of God and how God forgives. And boy, it hit home. This very scripture that I'm reading in in this audience today, be ye kind one another, tenderhearted. And then this other one, I could not resolve, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know what it took? It took me crucifying something. It took me crucifying my pride because it had hurt my pride. It took me crucifying my ego because my ego was hurt. I had to crucify what I thought of myself, and I used to think myself a pretty noble, knowledgeable guy. And I found out in a hurry, I'm not. I found out, like the song says, I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. I can't even take a breath, Lord. I found that out. And I don't know how my wife feels about it today, but I think a lot of my health problems have resulted in an unforgiving spirit. And you know, I can't get that back. I can't make myself healthy. They can make me live and alive. But I'll tell you, whenever that I saw this scripture, and whenever that I saw that it just hit me straight on, I want you to know I had to do some digging with God. I'm talking about praying, Lord, help me to let go of it, to let go of the feeling, let go of the grudge. You know, things that happened 50, 60 years ago, you can't go back and do anything about it. Whenever that you're filled with hate, there's no way. But you can make a clean break from it, Paul. You can make a clean break from it. And there was hope there. I wouldn't get my health back, but I could get right with God. And it took some praying. And you know, I always thought, wow, I'm going to stand up here, big theologian, and I'm going to expound the great mysteries of God. And you know, all of this. Why, someday they may even make a statue for me. I had to go back how it is to live. How to live among my fellow man. How to, whenever that somebody does something to me, I learned to pray, Lord, don't let it fester in me like it used to. Lord, don't let me hate that individual. It took for so long to get it out of me, to pray it out of me, to read it out of me. Please don't let it happen again, Lord. Please surround my heart with your grace and with your love that I can look at that person. And I want to tell you something. My friend, that's why we got bullies in school and bullies even that are grown up, 30, 40, 50 years old. But my friend, I forgive the bullies that I encountered and what they did. It took a long time, but I did. And I had to ask God for forgiveness for those that I had bullied in turn. I know you're going to say this is an unusual sermon because I'm basically crucifying myself before you. But I want you to know the Bible says we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the grace and the faith of God dwelling within me. And the life I now lead, I lead by the Spirit of Christ who gave himself for me. So what does he ask of me to do? To love one another as Christ loved us. What did Christ do? He went to the cross. He bore our sins. He tasted of the death that you and I deserve today. And he's the example today to follow. My friend, he forgave the Pharisees. He forgave the Sadducees. He forgave the scribes, the Essenes, every type of person that was against him. He forgave them. So how did I find relief? I found in the scripture where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits." There's a benefit to it today. I want to tell you something. Whenever that those thoughts even start creeping back in, and you'd be surprised what triggers it for me. And I began to kind of mull it over and think, oh, it's been about 60 years. I hope he got what was coming to him. You know, I start thinking that. And I don't know about anybody else. I'm not here judging. I'm putting Paul on the witness stand. I'm putting Paul up here. I'm not perfect by any means, but I've got somebody living within me to help me who is perfect today. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know him. I want you to be able to walk with him. I want you to not go through what I went through for so many years. So what was your solution? I began to repent before God. I mean down my face to the ground. You thought that I was an Islamic by the way that I was praying, but my face was down before God because when I realized my sin, I could not even look up and begin to ask God for a favor. After I'd been harboring that in my heart for so long, against this one, against that one, my goodness, I got so sensitive about it, somebody look at me wrong, and I get upset about it. But I began to repent, and I began to turn to God, and I began to beg him to help me find the grace not to fall into that trap anymore. And I don't know what other people do, but you know what I have found has helped me whenever that I'm encountered with that again, or whenever that those thoughts come to me, I start repeating the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over again. And then I repeat the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, he will take care of me." I repeat it over, and it's almost like a prayer with me. I got into the scriptures, and boy, where I thought I was so smart, and where that I had acquired all this so-called learning, I found out I'm not so smart after all. There's the one who's got the wisdom and the knowledge. And I want you to know, my friend, I began to forgive and to release it. Now, do you know what happens whenever that I release it? I get a peace. And I don't think about revenge. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't enter my mind. I'm not saying that at all. But I began to get a peace about it. It freed me from the stress. I'm not saying that anybody who has stress is going through all of this that we went through. But it frees me from it. And I can stand before God, covered by Christ's blood, and be justified before God. And I can find grace in God's sight to be able to pray for that individual. You know what he said in one place? Boy, it really struck me. He said, love your enemies. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And oh, today I thought, why, Lord, this simple thing. He said it's because, or he revealed to me, for me, that there is so much hatred that's growing. We see it demonstrated time and time again, that you need to walk and talk and think and act like Jesus did. Now, I've not achieved perfection. But I want to tell you something. There's one to imitate today. There's one to follow after today. You know, I always kind of wondered, and here I go judging again, why that so many of the disciples didn't take that on them quite so readily, especially Peter. Now I'm judging Peter. Man's dead and gone. Got his books with us. But, you know, I just wonder. It's because they didn't stay close enough to God. And I saw myself in that. I saw myself in that today. So we find that it frees us from the hate. I'm speaking about me. It frees me from hate. It keeps me from hating people without a cause or having this feeling all these years. I talk it over with God. I ask God for help. I pray not so much to get things, but I pray to align my will with God's will today. Now you might say, well, what was all that about, preacher? It's about what Jesus told Peter. Let me tell you something about that question that Peter asked. The rabbis and the learned men, now I'm not saying this because I think I'm smart, but the rabbis and the Pharisees and the interpreters of the law had interpreted this, that when one offends you, you give him three chances, and after three chances, he's struck out. Then you can do whatever you want to. Now, Peter thought that he was asking above and beyond. He didn't ask, you know, Lord, is it three strikes and you're out? No, Peter was going to transcend that. And he thought, boy, I'll just kind of beat Jesus to this. But he said, shall I forgive him seven times? He could have said 10 times or whatever. Do you know what Jesus told him? He said, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And I want to tell you something today. You kind of lose count, don't you? At least I do. But that's not what that is about. It's not legalistic where that I'm going to forgive 490 times and then I'm going to take whatever I want to or do whatever I want to. But that is showing the abundance of God's grace. And we can have that kind of grace today. It's available unto us today. May God bless you. Wasn't what I intended to do or to say in the service today. I was afraid not to be quite honest with you. But I don't want you to fall. And you may not have a problem with them. That's fine. God bless you. I hope you never do. I hope you never do. But I want you to know one of the benefits that he talks about in the Psalms of doing this is being able to walk with God with a clear conscience, free from hate, free from grudges, free from wanting to take revenge. You're not going to find in the Bible where that it was ever all that justified. But you know what it does say? God said, I'm the judge. God said this. He said, vengeance is mine. And you know, whenever that we come before the judgment seat of God to be judged of our works, probably turn out that the people that offended me weren't so bad off, and I was the guilty one. That's how God does. So as we close our few remarks, we want to thank you for your kind patience, for this opportunity to stand before you and just bare our soul before you. I'm so thankful today for the love, for the faith, for the hope that there is. And I'm thankful today that we have an example. We have an icon. We have someone to follow. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray today for you. I pray every day for you all. Pray that God blesses you. Pray that God directs you. God helps you in your problems and in your sicknesses and things like that. I pray for that daily. And I hope and pray today that God just take whatever that you've got in store for me and give it to the people of Elkton. That's how I truly feel. God bless them abundantly. God save their lost loved ones. God help them in their struggles. You know, my little troubles are not anything. But I'm thankful to be able to pray for each and every one of you today. You know, I spoke to dear sister, and we were talking about the weather. You know, we finally kind of exchanged problems that we had this week. You know, utilities don't last long, do they? They pretty well go out. But you know, my problems are not anything compared to the problems that other people have. And God forgive me for wasting nearly 60 years of my life dwelling on things like that when I could have been doing more.